communication and housekeeping is very technical. So I get into all of these terms, their symbols and their representative characters which are attached to them. So communication in a housekeeping department is very important. These terms are also very important. OCC is an occupied room, which means a guest is actually in the room, is occupied. The room is not vacant and not for sale. It is already sold. VC is vacant and clean. I mean, the room is ready for sale. There's a room which our front office can sell it. Vacant and clean, cleared by housekeeping. VD, vacant and dirty. It's vacant, but it's not clean. You can't sell it. You yet have to clean the room. Occupied and ready. It's occupied, but it's ready. So once the guest checks out, it's ready for sale, but it's occupied. Occupied and clean. The guest is in-house. It's occupied, but you clean the room, so there should be not a problem. Occupied and dirty means it requires cleaning, OD. It requires cleaning. The guest is there, but it requires cleaning. OOO, out of order. That's your preventive maintenance rooms, your rooms with which cannot be sold at any cost because they are going through preventive maintenance, they're going through spring cleaning, or there is some major issue which has happened in the room. So they cannot be sold. So they're categorized as OOO. Other general terms are DND, do not disturb. A guest puts this up. A guest puts this up on the screen. And up outside the door, she does not want to be disturbed. So those rooms should never be touched. They should not be disturbed. If it happens for a consecutive days or 2-3 days in a row, then the desk supervisor will call the room, speak to the guest. Will speak to the guest. So when a guest checks in and moves into the room, then there is the luggage terms which come in. HL, LL and NL. HL is heavy luggage, LL is light luggage and NL is no luggage. You know why these are important? Heavy luggage means you're sure that the guest cannot run away from your hotel without paying his bill. The two worries, you have light luggage and no luggage. No luggage is the biggest worry. If a guest has no luggage, you have to inform the front office immediately, because then the front office has to take either the entire money in advance. Credit should not be then given to the guest. Light luggage, similar thing. They have to be careful. Double lock is when the room is locked twice. Chain lock is the chain which is put in a room. HU is house use. House use is generally complimentary rooms given to corporate guests, or I mean corporate guests means your hotel, the management guests and guests where they are, I mean people come from outside, somebody's come for training, you get rid of the house use room. So those are aspects for it. NCI is newly checked in, the word is actually self-explanatory. R is reported as service, it is reported as service. The room has been serviced, but the housekeeping day. So like I said, the shifts are divided into three. The major work of housekeeping happens in the morning. The morning shift is normally from 8 to 4 or 7 to 3, depending on housekeeper to housekeeper. Room attendants work the day shift, that's the morning shift. Morning shift is where most of your checkouts happen and check-ins happen. No, most hotels checkout time is 11 and check-in time is 1 or 12 and 2. So all the check-in checkouts happen at that point of time. If you're a city hotel, there's a lot of people who check in check out during that point period of time. So you have to clean the room and you have to get it ready for the next guest. So that is the heavy duty shift in terms of rooms. And then you have the evening shift, which is mainly to service the rooms in terms of your turndown services. High-end hotels offer turndown services. So mainly for turndown services, for other various guest work in terms of your rooms. And to do the rooms which are not going to be occupied today. So you know these rooms are not going to be occupied today. They're not been allotted for the guests who are checking in, but you yet have to clean them and get them ready. You know, housekeeping teams are responsible for cleaning guest rooms, turning down beds, as well as replacing dirty towels and replenishing other amenities. On days where prepared for new arrivals, and intense clean and complete change of bedding is always required. So your typical morning shift consists of the briefing first. Once you get a briefing, these are going to be to check out the rooms. These are going to be the new arrivals for today. You've got to clean these rooms first. These are the approximate times when guests are going to check out, because normally the front office asks them. So you know exactly what row you need to go through, and every checkout is announced, and you need to clean what you need to clean to ensure that the new guest arrives. And when you do a checkout room, you've got to clear everything. I mean, everything changes. Amenities also change. And because of the amenities, you can't put a used amenity. You can't use a used bed sheet. So you've got to change every aspect of it. And you've got to make sure that it is spick and span. These are some photographs for the housekeeping day, which you see here. Then the most important aspect, the housekeeper supervisor's daily tasks. So when a housekeeping supervisor comes in the morning, the first thing he does is picks out an arrival list and a departure list. Arrival list is of the guests who are going to arrive today. Departure list is the guests who are going to check out. What are the room allocations done to the arrivals, to the arrivals, and what are the rooms departing? That's how you plan. List will also tell you the time, approximate time they're to depart, so that these many guests are coming, these many groups are coming. Now these groups will have to be put in rooms close to each other. So more people probably required on that floor if there is a check-in check-out which is happening within an hour's time, for that period of time. So you can plan your subordinates' duty at that point of time. So you also need to schedule for your entire week. It's not that today I'm doing a morning shift, tomorrow I'll do an afternoon shift, day after tomorrow I'll do a night shift. That's not how it works. So you have to plan it accordingly for the entire week. You normally give a person a 6-day morning or a 6-day afternoon or a 6-day night, so that you can give them proper rest and then you can change their shifts accordingly. So you've got to plan that. Working with the front desk to arrange special requests or guest welcome amenities. Now there are certain guests who have special requests. Certain guests will ask you for an extra bathroom in the room. Now that has to be placed before the guest arrives. So once you have the arrival list, you will have the special instructions. The special instructions, extra bathroom in the room, extra bed in the room. All that has to be done before the guest arrives. All that has to be planned. Welcome amenities. You have a special fruit basket which is going into the room. Cookies which are going into the room. Depending on the guests. So you have to put those welcome amenities there. Not all guests get those. A special bouquet has to be placed. A general manager's note has to be placed with a special bouquet. All those things you have to coordinate with the front office department. You also have to attend your hotel leadership meetings. So general managers conduct morning meetings every morning. Normally happens at 9. Some hotels happen at 10. Where the departmental heads come in, they gather all the information from their the previous night shift, read through the logbooks, and then they come in to your morning meeting, where all departmental heads with the general manager go through the arrival list, go through the departure list, go through the issues, go through the guest feedbacks, wherever the issues were, get correction, go through different tasks which are needing to be done in the hotel. So attending those meetings are important. Holding pre-shift team meetings, like I said earlier, you have to plan your day. Once your day is planned, you have a morning briefing for your staff, a team meeting. before they go into their various areas, they are very clear on what they need to achieve within today's shift for them. But that is the pre-shift meeting for the first shift. Then you have a debriefing in the second shift of the first shift and handover and takeover to the second shift. And what are the second shift's responsibilities? What is the work, which tasks which need to be completed by them, which was started by the first day, or need to be restarted by them? So these, and same goes with the night shift. Responding to guest requests, there are lots of guest requests. Throughout the day, you'll say, someone will say, I need a quick shirt to be ironed. I need more tea bags. I need more coffee sachets. I require more bathroom amenities. I require a babysitter. I require an extra bed, extra towel. My room is, I've just spilled something on the floor. I need it cleaned. There are special requests which come in every moment of the time. My TV remote is not working. Battery is probably gone. It stopped working. I need a charger, if you have a charger for that. Those are also guest requests you'll get. You'll get guest requests as, I need a connector. I have an English charger, but you have an Indian charge point. I need a connector. All those respects will requests come. So all those requests have to be addressed. And there are a lot of guest service issues which happen. It's a service industry. The service issues will be there. However you clean a hotel room, whatever, there will be some fussy guests. Maybe the best housekeeper in the world, but there will be a fussy guest. He will say, no, there is dirt here, and there is none. So you have to resolve their issues also. You have to go there, be tactful with them, convince them that there is no dirt there if there is none. If there is, you have to ensure that it is resolved. Leveraging technology to communicate with other departments and track task completion. Fortunately, hospitality has moved to a level in terms of technology use. Technology is everywhere in hotels. So technology is leveraged to a point where it can be leveraged to. Always there is scope. Technology always gives you scope. It will always come up with new technology for you to leverage. Some of the communications between department happens through technology. Rooms status from out of order to clean vacant to dirty vacant, all that happens through technology, so that information is seamless. Your tasks also, your cleaning tasks, your supervisory tasks, all those as via technology, the standard tasks are fed in softwares. Which, if you give a handle design, once the task is complete, they can tick in. So technology is a very important aspect. And last but not the least, managing department expenses like supply cost and payroll. You are budgeting. Once you budget, you have to maintain your costs. You have to ensure that inflation doesn't catch on to you. So when you tie up with a soap manufacturing company, you tie up for a period of a year, you ensure that the cost doesn't go up because you're giving the guy volume. You ensure that, in the middle of 3 months, he says, nah, 1 rupee more per soap. I won't do that. It's a budget haywire. And 1 rupee more may sound like 1 rupee more, but in a large hotel, it's like 1,000 rupees more a day. The supply costs have to be controlled. Plus, you always look at cheaper things which you can get with the quality which you require. You always look at maintaining a particular quality with as cheaper as you can get. If technology improves, you look at the supply cost of that so that you can maintain your costs. And obviously, payroll is a very important aspect. It's very easy to say, I need 20 more people. 20 more people means 20 more salaries. Means a headcount on the payroll costs. You have to maintain that. You have to stick to your budget. Now, this is an example of daily attendant, daily assignment sheet, I had the room number, time in, time out. When as a room attendant, I went in this time. I came out at a particular time. My status before service. What is the status of the room before service? Is it out of order? Is it occupied? And what is it? The guest name. It's very important for a housekeeping person to know the guest name. You know, guest, because sometimes you meet the guests, so you should know their name. It's best if you can address them by the name instead of sir or madam. Arrival date of that guest, what is the departure date of the guest, the number of people staying in the room, if there is any request, status after service. Now, once I have serviced, is it become clean or is it not clean? Bed count, beds or cots, bed sheets, number of bed sheets I put, king size, queen size, twin, number of duvet covers, number of towels which I have changed, number of bath mats, pillowcases, mineral waters which I have kept, the complimentary mineral waters, any remarks, the supervisor's signature after he sees through this, is it okay? If there is any lost and found which has been found, the codes which are there, vacant, occupied, so that goes into your guest room status before, as I said. So this is ideally, this is what is a standard, which is the flow, who's my housekeeping supervisor, what is the date, what's my name, early check-in AM report, linen room, what is the condition, stairwells, have I cleaned it, because the public area actually works, you know, in the night is where the mainly the public area work happens, public area back office cleaning happens in the night. So early naming in check when, the, you know, all your guests are in the rooms. So your lobby and your elevators and your hallways and your stairways are clear. These are the places where you clean in the night. Your linen rooms have to be cleaned, have to be run. So all their locations and condition, and you have to check all your public area work in the early morning as the first shift comes in. This is an example of a Royal Palm Beach Resort occupancy status report. Room number, room status, 000 occupied, vacant, cleaned. 000 is out of order, then 102 is vacant, 103 is occupied, and there you see occupancy, number of people in it. 104 is vacant, dirty, that means the guest has checked out, but it's yet not cleaned to be settled. Evening activities. Now we come to the shift to evening shift. 6 p.m. to midnight. This is what it is. Evening shift normally starts at 3, but 3 or 4. What do you do from between 6 p.m. to midnight? Turndown service is normally done till 10, 10:30 latest. Turndown service is where you, when you go to the guest room, make a fold for the guest to be able to slip into the bed easily, put a little chocolate for his evening, and clean the bathroom again if the bathroom is dirty, and just get it ready for him so that when he comes back into the room after his dinner, he can just nicely move into his bed and sleep, and when he goes early morning into the bathroom, it's clean. Evening staff takes the status report of the floor from the desk, which is a normal aspect. Now evening, morning, every staff takes it. The floor key card and signs for it. See, in the evening, it is advisable for room housekeeping not to go into the rooms. Only when you do turn down services when you go into the rooms. Because normally in the evening, you expect that after 6 p.m., the guest will may be in his room. So you don't disturb the guest wherever possible. Yeah, but if you're doing a turn down service, guest will also be happy about it. So the flow key and card becomes more important in the evening than in the day. Because you just can't, just keep entering into rooms that way. So you have to sign for it. You sign for it in the every shift, but you do sign for it in the evening. You know, the more stress is taken on that. Now, evening shift also, once the whole, thing is cleaned up, the morning shift concentrates mainly on the rooms and public areas in terms of corridors. But you have to keep maintaining the corridors. Corridors are most occupied in the evening. In a room corridor, there'll be more people roaming around in the evening. So the more dust, more cleanliness, so you have to keep tidying it, you have to keep making it out. And then you have the room service trays which people leave outside the room. You have to clear them all through the corridors. You have to ensure that there are no stains which are put outside in the corridors because of that. You have to wipe it if there is water spilt or everything else spilt there. That's important. Now, vacant rooms are to be serviced from 6 p.m. onwards, which is when you... I've already said this. I mean, vacant rooms... all your vacant rooms are not done in the morning shift. But you yet have to do dusting and cleaning of the rooms. You may not have to change the bed sheets, but you yet have to do dusting and cleaning of the rooms so that if there is a late night check-in, if there are walk-ins late in the evening, those vacant rooms can be sold. So you have to do the dusting of those vacant rooms. That is normally done from 6 p.m. onwards. Yeah, you have to finish the turndown service by 10 p.m. because no one wants to be disturbed by 10 p.m. Normally, we advise by 9 p.m. you should try and finish it. But 10 p.m. is the outer limit. And if there are departure rooms which have not been cleared, but you need to clear them. So all the departure rooms which are not cleared. So let's say you had 100% occupancy yesterday. Today you have a 70% occupancy. So you may have a few departure rooms which are left uncleared because morning shift had too much work to do in the morning. But those rooms have to be cleared out so that they can be sold in the night or be ready for the next day. Your computer reports which are generated in some hotels. Again, your room type. S is for standard. Standard room. Housekeeping status. Clean, dirty. I mean, it depends on software to software. Where they this or the other symbols. Last night it was it available? Is there a reservation? That means it's blocked for a guest to come in. Let's say you see a room number 11, it's dirty, but there is a reservation. That means it has to be cleaned and you have to make it ready for the guest to check in. So it's been blocked for someone to come in. So likewise, here you go through, it's dirty, vacant, it's vacant, but it's dirty, so you need to clean it. So all those aspects you have to see are the daily work report of the supervisor. You've gone through the attendant, now the supervisor also needs to have a work report. It's a very valuable tool. It ensures that employees stay on track because this is a checklist. They have to have a checklist of everything. Their performance targets also depend on their employees' performance. It will help to monitor their progress, their own progress. Report allows supervisor to have a quick look at what the staff did in the particular day. At the end of the day, as a shift supervisor, after I go through, I have like, let's say, 10 staff working for me in the shift. Now all the 10 staff reports gives me a clear idea of what all they did. As a supervisor, it's my duty to constantly roam around and check what they're doing. But this will give me a clearer picture of what all they did. And I can check on those things. So it gives me a quick look and a good look at what the staff has done in the particular day. Helps me plan for the next day. Let's say, you know, I had planned and on floor 10, my housekeeping pantry needs to be cleaned. And my boys found that time and did it today, so I don't have to do that tomorrow. So those aspects of planning come into that. Or it's not been cleaned, it requires to be cleaned. It's not done today because of too much work, too many checkouts. So it needs to be done. It also tells me there were whatever issues they've had today. Rude guests, different kinds of different issues are put into the work reports. It's a communication between the supervisor and the staff naturally. Supervisor is also able to see whether the staff is meeting his targets or not, like I said before. Unless and until you don't supervise them, you don't look at their reports and don't make your report, you're never going to be able to know. Both the employees and supervisors also have to see the day was spent and what activities are taking place in the majority of the employees working hours. It's an 8-hour shift. In an 8-hour shift, what all has the person been able to achieve? That's how you will be able to monitor his progress. That's how you will be able to monitor your progress. in your 8-hour shift, what all you have been able to achieve with through them and the jobs which you are supposed to do on your own. So this is the supervisor daily work report. Unit, status, type, family room, vacant occupied, zone, which floor, whatever, department, departure, arrival, stay, and then notes and add-ons like window is broken. Now in your report it shows window is broken, so that if the window is broken, you know you've got to send maintenance there. You can check. You can go back and check, is the window being repaired or not? Has the maintenance guy gone or not? You made your issued your work order, but has he gone or not? Because it's your responsibility. Window not closed, you can check. Windows, is it closed or not? These are the issues which are there. Last but not least for this chapter, we come to the cleaning supplies vocabulary. There are nothing here much to explain, but these are very essential aspects. You have washing machine, you have different kinds of brooms, Then you have dustpans, you have squeezies, you have spray cleaner, paper towels, tissues, sponges, mops and buckets. You'll have different kinds of it. We'll come to those aspects later. You have plastic tubs with cleaning supplies. You have hand caddies, which they are called. You have the sponge mops, you have the mop buckets, you have the rubber gloves, the trash cans, garbage cans, scrub brush, cleaning cloths, vacuum cleaners. Works. These are just some of it. But cleaning supply vocabulary, these are the easier vocabulary. There are lots more vocabulary. You get into different chemicals, you have different vocabularies for each of them. This is, get into that is not that important at this stage, but just to give you an idea of it. So thanking you for this chapter, and we'll get to the next chapter soon.